Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning. Tuesday, April the 28th, 2026. 18 coming up on 19 minutes past the hour. Last Tuesday in the month of April. May comes in on Friday. How about that? 58 degrees, 59 degrees this morning. Cloudy skies in the Marion area. Certainly a little warmer than it was yesterday morning, but we got the big rainstorm last night. And we got that big rainstorm just as I was leaving city council last night, and those were big drops of rain last night. It definitely, it was kind of a cold rain, to be honest with you, too. Even though the temperatures were pretty good yesterday, it was a little bit of a cold rain, and the drops were big, so hopefully you are not flooded where you are right now. Well, last night's Marion City Council meeting, there are a few interesting points that happened in that somewhere around an hour and a half meeting. Well, let's start from the top here. The spot across from Logan Tire, where the city wants to build, well, I should say developers want to build a Dollar Store. And this has been a point of contention. Is this land good to do this? And should it have three readings? Because there was an emergency clause in the legislation last night. Now, the resolution, I should say. To be honest with you, I don't remember that emergency clause being in there the week before when it left committee. It very well could have been, but it was definitely in there last night. Seven members of council were there last night because there is no fourth ward city council person right now. We'll get to that momentarily. And the person whose district it's in, Ralph Smith, was not there last night. He was out due to a medical. So there were only seven members of council last night. Now, to suspend the three reading rule, you have to have seven members of council agree to do that. So everybody who was in attendance last night would have to agree to suspend the three reading rule. And that did not happen. That was not going to happen. The first person who said this is not going to happen would have been Thad Smith. He said, I'm not against this happening, but I think we should have more readings, go through some more questions. Scott Kreider echoed that. And I'm guessing Aaron Rollins was probably in that boat as well, because he did not seem to be very high on the idea of this happening right now, until some more questions are answered. And a lot of questions from the public last night. Now, the big hang-up here seems to be, what basically is going on? The city is voting to accept the annexation of this land into the city. Well, the problem is that if there's something wrong with this land, then the store cannot be built there. And what are we going to do with this land now that we have that this cannot be built on, the store? Well, apparently, we learned last night from one of the builders that until the city accepts the annexation, they're not going to do the soil tests on this land. Now, there is some talk about possibly getting a grant to clean up that area. We don't really know what the answers are to that right now. We're not sure why the health department gave them a grant to get rid of all those tires that were there for years. Apparently, it was some kind of health concern. The common wisdom seems to be that it had to do with mosquitoes, but we're not really sure about that. So there's a lot of questions here. The other question is, last night, Marion Matters showed up, and they talked about that area of town being a food desert, not having any place there where people could get produce and things of that nature. Now, the question came up, how much fresh produce and good food are you going to get at a dollar store, Dollar General store? Now, if you go into a store, they do have some freezers, so they do have some food, but I don't know if it's not like a grocery store. I don't even know what you would like in a dollar store, too. You know, I remember when they put the dollar store in Caledonia. Caledonia had not had a store for a long, long time. And you can't really go in there shopping, per se, and get all your groceries for the week. Because there's this big conversation about there being no place for people in that area to go. Well, you know, I'm not sure what they're doing right now. I mean, obviously they're getting food in that area. Now, I'm not saying nothing should be built over there, but there's obviously a reason that nothing has been built over there. And it can't be because there's no free land in that area, because if it's as bad as people say it is, I'm sure there's some land or an empty building that a business would be willing to take over. I don't know. There's a lot of questions over there. And then there were some questions about the train tracks, about how people have had to wait several hours at the train tracks in the hot sun to try to get to a part of town where they could get some groceries and produce and things of that nature. Now, I don't know the train situation over there. I mean, I certainly know that we have a bad train situation in Marion, but I'm sure there are other ways out of that part of town. I don't know. It's all very confusing. And I think the bottom line for most people is, if this can be built there, I don't know that people have a great big problem with it. I think if it can be built there, good for them. What's wrong with a little convenience store there? But is this going to meet the needs of that particular community, I think, is the question, and I think why it's going to go to a second reading in 2 weeks from now. And I think there's also a question is, why does this have to go so fast, which is, I don't know, Ted McGinnis, the lawyer, seemed to wanted it to go fast for the building season. Doesn't look like that's going to happen right now. Well, certainly is not. Didn't get done last night, let's put it that way. So I guess we'll see what happens in a couple weeks as time goes along with that. The other thing last night we learned, which is kind of important, is Mark Russell, the city law director, got up at the end of the meeting. Now, you know we have this vacant 4th Ward council seat. Twyla Lang was reelected. She left that seat to become the treasurer. It became vacant. It was vacant for 2 months, from February till April. Then we got Sean Wilson, who was chosen by council to be the new councilman. He had a conflict with his job. He worked for the state, ODOT. They said he couldn't do that. He couldn't be on city council and still work for ODOT. So he had to resign the seat. And what we've learned is the lawyers for the Board of Elections, Law Director Mark Russell, Prosecutor Ray Grogan, have all decided the best way to handle this is at the next city council meeting, which I think is Monday, May the 11th, the city council will choose the next 4th Ward city council person. Now, this will not go to any political party. You don't have to be a member of any certain political party to fill this seat. That seemed to be the way it was put last night, because there was some question that the person had to be a Republican, because Twyla was elected as a Republican. But because this time it did not go to the Republican Party first, because of what's happened, I don't think you have to be a member of any certain political party. Now, I'm not sure if you're just supposed to show up that night on the 11th if you want the job. I'm not sure if you're supposed to submit an application, and I'm not really sure if the people on council are sure about this right now. So if you're interested in that 4th Ward seat, and you live in the 4th Ward, I would contact the Board of Elections, and I would contact a sitting city council person. Obviously, if you're in the 4th Ward, you do not have a city council person, but I would contact a sitting city council person or the law director or the Board of Elections, and they should be able to fill you in on what you need to do and where you need to be if you would like to fill that seat. But at this point, it looks like it's up in the air as to who's going to fill that seat. All right, I should mention phone lines are open if anybody's got anything they'd like to say. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, you do still have to remember that there is only one Democrat on council at this point. So, the chances that the person will be a Republican are probably pretty good. But there seems to be some problem filling this seat, because Twyla resigned the seat back in February, and the Republicans did have a chance to appoint somebody, and for whatever reason, they did not. I think they had over 40 days, something like 45 days, to appoint somebody to that seat. That didn't happen. That's why it went to city council for the back in April. That's why this vacancy went to city council back then, and we got Mr. Wilson, but he could not fill the seat because of his current position. So now, I don't believe it's a partisan issue, so said Mark Russell last night, with conjunction conferences with the attorneys for the Board of Elections and the Marion County Prosecutor. So, we'll see what happens. Hopefully the best person for the job gets picked. You know, I think that's what we want. If somebody really wants to do this, hopefully party affiliation is not the main reason people are voting on this position, because we have not had a 4th Ward council person, or the people in the 4th Ward have not had a 4th Ward council person since February. So I imagine they would probably like one, as this position will not be filled until May. So they will have gone 3 months without a council person. Okay, now the other issue last night is maybe somewhere where we're headed with city council in general, and that would be the decorum issue of how things are done in city council. Now, last night the discussion was happening in regard to this dollar store on the old Logan tire spot where they stored the tires. Now, it was very strange, because if you don't live in Marion, you have to be voted permission to speak. Now, a lady from Marion Matters got up. She did not live in Marion. I believe she lived in Waldo. She got up to speak, and they voted that she speak. A matter of fact, I don't remember ever seeing anybody voted down to speak. Now, somebody will have to point that out to me if somebody ever was voted down to speak. But I can't remember it ever happening before. So the lady from Marion Matters got up. She lives outside the city. They voted on her to speak, and she spoke. Then a gentleman got up. I believe he lived on Lynn Hipshire, but I know he lived outside the city. And so they had to vote on him to speak on this matter. And they rejected him, did not allow him to speak. Now, I'm not sure why that was. I guess you could say, well, he lives outside the city, he doesn't have a stake in this matter. Yeah, I guess you could make that argument. Nobody ever really asked why he was not allowed to speak. And I should say it was 4 council members who voted that he not be allowed to speak. 3 members did vote for him to speak. I believe it was Thad Smith, Aaron Rollins, And Scott Kreider voted that he could speak, but the other four, Dan Clark, Bill Dichtel, Sean Barr, and Pam Larkin, voted that he not be able to speak, and so he was not allowed to speak. So that kind of went by, and then we had another person get up who lived outside the city, so they had to be voted on to speak on the same matter. We're still talking about the same thing last night. And they unanimously voted for that person to speak. And I'm sitting there in the front row, and I'm looking at the people around me, and I'm thinking, now wait a second. Now why? Okay, I can understand why you let the Marion Matters woman speak. She has business here in Marion. Why the second person who wanted to speak was voted down, I'm not really sure. But the third person, who was basically in the same situation, same boat as the second person, why did you unanimously vote for him to be able to speak? I could not figure that out. I still don't understand that. I don't know why that was. You would think you would either vote everybody up or you would vote everybody down, especially when we're continuing, when we're talking about the same issue here, which was the dollar store over across from Logan Tire. So I have no idea, and if anybody does, feel free to give me a buzz here, coming up on 35 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It was a very weird moment. You know, I don't think it was a contentious moment. It was just, you sat there, I think if you were in the audience, and you thought, why are we doing this? Why did we vote this person down to speak who lives outside the city, and we're voting this person up who lives outside the city to speak? I don't think there's a real firm grasp on what's going on there, and I'm still not sure why this is such a contentious issue. I would think that if you want to accept the annexation of this land into the city, you would have the three readings, you would vote to accept it, and life would go on. But somehow this has turned into a somewhat contentious subject. And I'm not really sure. Basically, it sounded to me like the public was saying, we think this is a good idea, we just don't want this done quickly. We want all three readings to happen, and we want everything to come out that possibly could come out. And it seems as if there are at least three council people who feel that way too. So again, I'm not really sure what the big hang-up is here. I mean, if they don't get this done quickly, is the dollar store going to go away? I haven't heard that. I just heard that it was building season. And by the way, the third reading would come sometime in late May. It's not like it's months and months away. It would come, what would it be? It would be May 25th, something like that. So I don't know. That would be the third reading if nothing happened. I'm not sure. That's the way it went. And there also was a conversation last night about how city council people speak to their constituents, or speak to people in the audience in general. So there was that as well. But again, if you have anything you'd like to say, 37 and a half minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. But more or less, that is last night's city council rundown. That's pretty much what happened. So the fourth ward seat is now open to be filled at the next city council meeting on May the 11th. What's going to happen with the old or the current, whatever you want to say, spot across from Logan Tire? Will a dollar store come there? I guess we'll find out in the weeks to come. And I did hear that next week on during city council committees, Decorum will be talked about in the committees, but the last two times it's come up, there didn't seem to be enough information to have that conversation. So this is where we are at this point. And again, if you are a resident or just have something you'd like to say, 740-383-9944, feel free to weigh in. Now, as far as the city's financial plan, I don't know where that is. All we know right now is that the city's financial plan was submitted to the state auditor on April the 6th, and today is April the 28th, and we have not heard anything back. So I guess it's still a game of wait and see with the state auditor, and we'll find out how that all turns out. But this is the city we live in. You know, I would have to guess that the people doing these things, as I've always said, have the best, I think they think what they are doing is what's best for the city. And maybe in a lot of cases it is. I don't know. But I certainly think there are points of contention that are coming up that are making people very angry. And I don't know if things need to be this angry. You know, maybe if the temperature came down on all sides, things would be okay. It just seems like everybody is a little tense right now. Just a little tense, a little angry, and in some cases, just looking to have some kind of, I don't want to say that people are looking for arguments, but it certainly seems as if the emotions are certainly high. And nothing wrong with passion. I think we like to see passionate citizens. I think we like to see passionate city council people. But hopefully everybody can get along, and we can get to where things are best for the city, I guess, at this point. But coming up on 42 minutes past the hour here, we are live this morning after that big rain last night. Wonder if that flooded a lot of people's basements in town or caused a lot of problems. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say in regard to the city council meeting, feel free to buzz in here this morning. We would love to hear from you and get your thoughts on what's going on during the old city legislation meetings, city council meetings. They're certainly never boring anymore. There's always something causing a little bit of kerfluffle, as they would say. Well, the elections, the primary elections, are a week from today. I think we have a phone call coming in here. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott, on this lovely rainy morning.
Yeah, a lot of rain last night. My goodness.
My rain barrel is almost full. I'm very excited.
You know, there were big drops, too. When we were leaving city council last night and getting ready to walk into the parking lot, I thought, well, this will be okay, but boy, that was a big rain.
Yes, I'm ordering another rain barrel. I'm very excited. I have an almost three-figure investment in this thing. I was at like $30 a gallon for water coming out of it. Now I think I'm down to about $6. So if I can just keep it going, it might actually pay for itself one day.
So how much rain fell last night?
Mine is about half full, so I can't determine it from that because I'm running spouting into one of mine. So I don't have a rain gauge. I can't tell you how many inches, but I managed to collect about 25 gallons of water from my spouting.
Yeah, it was a wet night.
I'm excited. This really is. I ordered this thing. It didn't rain for 2 weeks.
I know, we got a little bit of a dry spell. I know a lot of people were out mowing their yard yesterday. I hope they got it done before the storm came.
Yes, my son has been out doing a lot of mowing and earning some money as well.
That's a good
tonight
thing.
Is free laundry night. I want to get that in. Free laundry night, Main Street, Colonial Coin Laundry on Main Street. It's next to the Dew Drop Through and next to a Dollar General, ironically. But free laundry, free washers, free dryers, free detergent tonight, 5:30 to 8:00. Show up with your clothes.
You know, that's a very nice thing. You know, all you got to do is bring your clothes, and it's taken care of. That's a very positive thing. Now, it is the one on
Main Street.
Main Street, because people
right around the Dairy Queen area.
Because people confuse it with the one on Bell Fountain, I think.
Yes, they're owned by the same person, same name, but this is the one on Main Street between Dollar General, Dew Drop Drive-Through, right at the Dairy Queen area. Free laundry.
Well, that's good. So, you got any thoughts on City Council last night?
Well, I just want to say I haven't been in that room in a month, and you can see that the temperature is not cooling. I believe I didn't tune into you this morning. I've been on a phone call this morning, but their attitudes aren't changing towards the public. So it wasn't just me.
Well, no,
to point that out.
Well, no, I don't think it ever was. I think the issues are what's causing the problem. And that's what I was saying earlier, is I think that people are very passionate on both sides, and there's nothing wrong with having passion, but I think the issues are much more contentious than they have been in quite some time. And you know what's interesting? I knew last night, just by the first 10 minutes of the conversation about the Dollar General on the old Logan Tire spot, you know, I knew that they did not have the votes to suspend. 10 minutes in, there was no doubt in my mind that...
Well, I heard Sean Barr say we would need all 7.
Right. Well, I mean, that conversation was happening before things started, because somebody had said that Ralph Smith was not going to be there due to a health issue. And that's his ward, so that's a problem anyway.
Well, and I legitimately hope that Ralph Smith is okay.
Yeah, I hopefully.
Yeah.
And so once that happened, everybody knew they would need every single vote to suspend it. And within 10 minutes of the open meeting, you could tell by the questions that Kreider was asking right off the bat that he was not going to vote for it last night to suspend it. And the common wisdom was Rollins certainly was not going to. And then we went 45 minutes on that. By the time the 45 minutes over, Thad Smith was the one who...
Called smoke up. Yes.
Yeah, he did. And he said right off, you know, the bat after 45 minutes that he was the first one to actually speak it, that, you know, I'm not against this, but I can't vote for it tonight. So I think that's one of the things that happens right now, is that, like I said, 10 minutes in, it did not matter what Mr. McGinnis said, who is the attorney for the land. They were not going
to
vote for it.
To me, it did, because I wanted to get some of them on the record saying things about, well, they wanted an emergency clause on it because building season is upon us. I want them to double down on that, because that is not a legal use of an emergency clause. And the state of Ohio is already, again, they're reviewing the first use of the emergency clause, and they still have one slapped on this. So I wanted McInnes to get up there and say that again, because I cranked off another report to the auditor of state this morning and let them know that this piece of legislation, it's not passed yet, but they're trying to pass it with an emergency clause.
Well, but I think...
My name was mentioned last night. I'm not against us getting something on this side of town. I am against the process being fast-forwarded because Sean Barr is affiliated with the person that is selling the land. That is not fair. Last summer, I'm going back to my tattoo guy. The guy already owned the property, and he wanted to be legal and use it correctly. It took him months and months and months to get that property zoned commercial. They're bringing this into the city, and they're zoning it commercially for them. They don't even have to go through this process. That guy wanted to open a tattoo parlor in Mike Neff's neighborhood, and it took him months of meetings and begging and fees and filings to get it done. These people, one filing, one hearing, get it through, no questions. If you have questions, you're against it. How dare you question something for the west side? This is my actual neighborhood. This affects people that I know. I'm not against it. We have questions.
Well, right, but
we are entitled to have questions when there is an elementary school. Even Kreider said that last night, and I'm sorry to our friend. The situation at McKinley and that elementary school and that Dollar General are entirely different than what's going to be happening down here on Silver Street. And even Kreider said last night, they went through putting a stoplight and everything else down there. You're dumping a Dollar General 500 feet away from an elementary school.
Right, but what I think...
No questions, Scott. We're not supposed to have any questions.
No. I think people can have questions, but I think what's happening after observing this, especially on this issue, you know, within the first 10 minutes, as I said, McGinnis had spoke. He was one of the first people who spoke. The mayor spoke, said he hoped that council would pass it last night. And once that happened, if you looked at council and the questions that Kreider was asking McGinnis right off the bat, you knew that Kreider was not going to vote for this. And they needed all the votes. So it was not going to happen. And I think what happened was, and again, anybody can ask any question. I'm not saying they can't. But I think what happened was McGinnis spoke, the mayor spoke, Kreider was asking questions. And so you knew basically it wasn't going to happen last night. And then I think that's when it got a little contentious. I don't know if people thought it was still going to pass. I don't know. Because
you need to explain what happened as far as speakers also. There was an out-of-county speaker, but because they represented an organization inside the city, they voted to allow her to speak.
Right.
When another out-of-county speaker got up to speak, they did not allow him to speak.
But the third one they did. So who did represent it?
A third out-of-county speaker, they did.
I didn't understand any of that. I understood why they let the lady from Marion Matters speak, but I don't know what the difference was between the second and third speakers, both living outside the county, why the vote was different.
That property is in the county right now.
Right.
The county residents can't come speak to county property?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Only certain county residents. Well, you know what? It was the person who was there to speak to what they wanted that was friendly to their position. They were willing to let them. Dichtel did this in the past, too. He did it once with me and with Luke Henry. He let Luke Henry talk for 20 minutes, and then when I got up to ask the question, he's like, we've talked about this long enough. And I told him, I said, you can't let him talk for 20 minutes and then tell me that I can't talk. And that's the thing. Somebody needs to grow a pair with him. I sent him an email this morning and told him, last night, what he did to Kim Mayer, Kim Mayer was the recognized speaker on the floor. And he told her, you don't get to talk now, when she went to say something. He's not the council president. He doesn't get to determine when people talk anyway. So it would have been up to Mary Stoneburner to have said that. But I told him, what he did last night to her, and what they did with that county, no, what he did last night to her, when we go to our settlement hearing on May 27th, I am refusing, unless there is a life-altering number, which I know they're not willing to do, unless there is a life-altering number that's given to me on May 27th, the city of Marion and Naomi Craig are going to trial, and all of these people are going to swear under oath, and all of this video is going to be played back, and a jury of their peers is going to hear them say these things to a citizen. And what do you think an average citizen, and when we start talking about all the fraud that I've uncovered and all of the other stuff, you know, that's what they're retaliating against me for. You know, this is a shady land deal that I've reported to the state of Ohio. The state of Ohio is taking a look at it. They're still cramming it down our throats. They're still telling people to sit down and be quiet. I'm not settling for anything, Scott, when they're still doing the same stuff. So I told Dichtel, he has never won an election. That man has been appointed to his seat both times. When he ran for election, he came in fourth out of fourth. We have never chosen him to represent us. What he needs to do is remember who he actually represents.
Well, and this is to me, here's what happens at these meetings, and this is why I say I think herein
but
lies...
Let's point out that I have not been there in over a month, and they are still treating the public this way.
Well, but yeah, but here's what I think happens. I think, the issue, now why the vote went that way, why they didn't allow one person to speak, I have no idea. But,
that doesn't look very good in a First Amendment case where you're talking about retaliation and everything else. All they've done is just set up a pattern. I appreciate you guys. I really do.
I guess the whole, and it wasn't even really a back and forth. It was just Mr. Dichtel saying what he said, and I think Kim really didn't say much more after that. But the thing of it
what
is...
What gives them the right to say that, Scott?
Well, I don't think anything gives him the right to say that, but what I'm saying is...
But Robert's rules doesn't even give him the right to say that. He's a sixth ward councilman. The council president
right.
should have told her she doesn't have the time to speak.
Right.
Not him.
But I think what was happening there last night... See, here's another thing that... I think there is a little bit of a double standard going on to this degree. And it's not the double standard that everybody thinks it is. Here's what I think is going on, just sitting there watching this thing from the front row. Okay, now, Mr. Dichtel did say that to Miss Mayer. Now, at that point, I think she had more or less stated her point. That she did not like things ram-jammed. That's what makes it look shady to her. That's what she doesn't like. I think that point had been made. And that's when Mr. Dichtel...
He told her, you don't get to talk. It's not your turn to talk.
Right, but now here's...
It wasn't his turn to talk either.
Right, but here's where I want to come down to the double standard that I don't understand. Okay, the second... Again... The Marion Matters woman was allowed to get up to speak. They voted on her. Some gentleman, I don't know who it was, from the county, got up. He wanted to speak. They voted him down. Then the third gentleman, who again, from the county, no different than the second gentleman, not representing an organization, was voted unanimously to speak on the same issue. Now, that's odd to begin with. But the person, the third person who spoke, was getting far more animated with Mr. Dichtel and Mr. Clark than Kim Mayer was, and they didn't shut him down. So, I don't know what that's about.
Dichtel has a problem with Kim because he's told her before, this isn't the time or place to discuss that. I have that documented, too.
Well, that's, so, but I mean, what do you think that is? Because Dichtel will sit there and listen to the third gentleman, who spoke, and everybody
Dichtel
on that...
also talks about getting drunk like the Irish at wakes. The man has, he apparently, he needs a sensitivity course, he needs a course in Robert's Rules of Order, and I would suggest, I also suggested the Mount Vernon Project by Attorney General Dave Yost's office at School of Public Service. I suggest that for all of them up there. It's an excellent course, and they all desperately need it. It's free. It's only about 8 hours, guys. I would suggest you take it.
I just think there's an interesting double standard going on. I'm not sure what it is because it's
not... Yeah, because they shut me down, and now I'm starting to wonder if they don't like women.
Well,
because they give Kim a hard time, and they give me a hard time, but everybody else can get up there and say whatever they want to.
Well, I don't know, but I know it's...
They gave Miranda McGinnis a hard time? Maybe I am seeing a pattern here.
Well, and I also think there is a lot of passion up there. Because, I mean, I know Aaron Rollins last night got frustrated during one of the conversations, but I think that's passion on his behalf, and I don't...
What people are selling this is that, oh, these people are finally going to have access to food. No, we're going to have access to $4 a dozen eggs, Cheetos, Pop. I mean, yeah, that's food. But if
right.
that was your neighborhood, is that what you would be fighting for?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Aaron, I don't think, is for this. And yet, he got passionate last night on the other side of it. So, you know... I think it just depends on what people are saying.
When you have two people or three people up there saying they represent an entire neighborhood, they do not. They do not. But because, let's put it this way, Marion Matters and that neighborhood association group they keep talking about, the Martin Luther King Neighborhood Association, Christy Neff is part of that. And they are the ones that were... planning this behind closed doors in a private meeting that the state of Ohio told me to sue the city over. Pam Rich, she was the one that got up there last night, one of them. She's part of the one coordinating the secret meeting that their state told me to sue the city over.
That's the
reason why they told me to write a complaint to the Ohio Ethics Commission.
See, here's...
Except they're arguing for it.
Here's what doesn't happen during council anymore, and I don't understand this. I don't understand why nobody on council, when these things are being said, why doesn't somebody say, Ms. Risch, how many people attended your last meeting? You know, how many people in that neighborhood use Marion Matters. Now, they had the statistics from the health department in regard to how many people
and
used...
You know what? Here's another thing. If I had been there, I would have pointed out to Miss Marion Matters, she should know that we live in a rural area. She kept calling us an urban center. Marion is not an urban center. We are considered a rural county. So when you're up there presenting information, you might want to make sure you know what type of county you're talking about.
Well, I didn't understand
Before you pose yourself as the expert.
I didn't understand the thing about the trains either. Because there has to be another way out of that area.
There's not. I can honestly tell you, unless you have a vehicle, there is not another way out of
that area. But what I'm saying, if you're in a car, that you're sitting there waiting on a train for 2 hours, or you can't get out of the neighborhood?
You have to drive around. If you're in a car, it's much easier. If you're on foot, it is impossible. And I can tell you from my own experience, like when the overpass was down, I would have to drive out east to head south.
So what if there's a fire?
I couldn't get there. Oh, my mother-in-law lives out in one of the streets, in the Fountain Street area, one of those smaller streets back there. Well, there's been someone that died on Lee Street because an ambulance couldn't get there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think this is the far bigger issue than is there a grocery store there.
Jason Sauber tried to get them to get drones with the AEDs that would fly over to our houses and drop AEDs if a ambulance was stuck on the other side of the tracks, and then they would be able to talk to you through the CPR.
Is this like a daily thing?
It's not nearly as bad now as it has been, but there are times that the tracks would be shut down for hours. Like I said, my mother-in-law lives a mile away on the other side of the tracks. There's times I'd have to drive out by Ridgedale. Yeah, I'd pass Quarry Park to get to her house.
Right, but I mean, is this like on the daily? Every day?
Honestly, a train stops there at least once a day, yes.
And so there is a period every day where that neighborhood is basically
nearly
shut down for 2 hours.
5 or 7 days. Five of 7 days, a train stops. Yeah.
So why are the trains there for 2 hours?
Because there's a switch.
Well, I understand, but if it's the only way in and out of that neighborhood, how can that even be...
Again, we've got far bigger fish to fry than a grocery store, but we're supposed to be content with the Dollar General.
You know, I don't understand. All I know is...
This neighborhood over here, we should be grateful for investment. And then they're talking about getting grants. If the land is contaminated, we'll just get grants to clean it up. How about you get a grant and clean up Tecumseh that has been that way for 20 years, that is literally a toxic dump?
I couldn't understand that part of it. And then I couldn't understand the part about what they were talking about, people who can't even ride the bus because they're not able to get on and off the bus, and I understand that, but how in the world are they going to get to the grocery store?
Well, that's another issue. They were talking about mobility devices. Let's just take the bus equation and everything out of it. You've got a school, you've got a Dollar General, and now you've got people riding mobility devices up the middle of Silver Street because our sidewalks are so horrible. You've got people riding their mobility devices up the middle of Silver Street, which is a 35-mile-an-hour zone still.
You know, but the bottom line of this, that, you know, I think most people on council are leaning toward at this point, is that, you know, okay, if this land is annexed, clearly they cannot build any store on a land that the EPA says you cannot build on.
Correct.
So if they annex it, and Dollar General goes in there and they do their soil test and they find out they can't build it there, they're not going to build it there. Yeah.
My husband worked there. His first job was in the junkyard pulling parts. It was a junkyard when he was 14 years old. He made $2 an hour, and he's going to go tell them that at city council. It was a full-on junkyard.
Well, there you go. And like I said, if that's true, then basically...
Now we have more contaminated land inside the city limits that's unusable, that they're going to get a grant to clean up so Sean Barr's friend can sell it to somebody else and make a bunch of money off of it, while Tecumseh sits up here polluted, and we all get to live around that.
Well,
if people aren't starting to see the selective nature of this, I'm sorry, and if you think that I'm bitching just to bitch, I'm not. This is my actual neighborhood. Tecumseh is, I can look out my front door and see it, and this school is right down the street. My granddaughter goes there. This is my neighborhood. Okay, so stop telling us what we need and listen to us, and maybe, like Phil said, we'll get on board.
Well, maybe they should elect a council person for that area.
They have one, Ralph Smith, or maybe we should get some fourth ward, because that is actually...
Because you're in the fourth ward, aren't you?
Well, listen, that's right where the second, third, and fourth ward split. The other side of my street, right across the street from me, is second ward. My neighbor right across the street is second ward. I'm fourth ward, and down the street is third ward. It splits right there.
Right.
So this affects a bunch of us.
Right. So last night, the third ward councilman wasn't there. We don't have a fourth ward councilman. So the only person who's representing that area in any way at this point is
Mrs. Hart. Has been on council for 3 months.
Well, I mean, I would think they would have a lot to say, and I don't think she said anything last night.
She didn't say boo. There are three wards that are affected right there.
So, well, I guess you got the at-large people representing, but...
Well, so we should have... Two of my at-large people did step up last night, Scott Kreider and Aaron Rollins. Thank you.
And it's interesting, two of the at-large people seem to be against it at this point.
We'll see what happens. Against the hurried nature of it, is what I think they're against.
Which is where we are. Well, we'll keep talking about it. Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care, Scott.
All right, here comes the break. We'll be back.
...is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more.